You're listening to Talking Raptors on Raptors Republic. 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 Talking Raptors on Raptors Republic.
Welcome to episode 4, season 8 of Talking Raptors. Barry Taylor here with Nick Reynolds. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing as good as I can for what I've seen from our team.
Yes. Just had some chicken. We're going to discuss that soon, but I feel comfortable right now.
I'm not stuffed.
Not bad at all. Chicken Republic.
Chicken Republic, as always.
Going deep.
Shout out to the Colonel. Shout out to Mary. Shout out to Popeye. Shout out to the child that is singing in the hallway right now. I don't know if you can pick that up, but
something's going on out there.
It's a demon outside.
Broadcasting, as always, on Raptors Republic, raptorsrepublic.com.
Get your sixes. Come get your sixes. We got a six from here, six over there, six from
six. Here's your royalty money. Drake, you said Drake's back in Toronto? I was seeing stuff. I thought he was in the Bahamas.
I don't know where he's going with his ACL, but I know Kyrie's tied to Drake, so I think Drake is trying to take down the fucking other teams in the NBA. Shout out to our goddamn global ambassador.
He's doing his job.
All over the globe,
he's
spreading COVID.
Putting in work. Good for him.
Taking players out the league.
Thing one.
The West Coast road trip has been going okay.
Yeah. Lots of moral victories, huh?
The moral victories.
That's what we are now.
Was completely fine with the Phoenix loss, to be honest, just because how well everyone played.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix was like, what was it, like 13 for 16 or something from three in the third. Like, it was insane.
They went ham. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And full transparency, I kind of like Phoenix too.
Me too. Dude, every 2K season I've ever done, I draft Devin Booker higher than he's supposed to be in the game every time.
Whoa.
I just love him. I love Devin Booker, man.
It's a fun team. The Sacramento win was great. That first quarter was terrifying. Sacramento shot 82%, was just basically going in for layups.
Yeah. Deep in my soul, I knew there was no way this is the goddamn Sacramento. I think I wrote that in a text to you. I'm like, this is the goddamn Sacramento Kings. There's no way in hell they're going to shoot this well for the entire game. But
it was a low point, though, that first quarter. Like, that was just like, where? There was like a lot of looking in the mirror, you know, like, who are we, really?
Yeah, I'm like, we don't even need to tank. We're just going to just play like this, man. Well, we don't need to tank.
Wasn't good. But again, turned it around. Big win. Felt good.
Yeah, man, we're not in a good spot when you big win over Sacramento, right? Like, we're not doing well.
That is a low bar.
We got the Sacramento Kings. We got their number.
Golden State game, a little frustrating. Obviously, not the outcome wanted. Any thoughts on that game at all? Or? Here's a positive. Fred VanVleet shut down Steph Curry.
Again. Once again. That's what he does, man.
That's
always great to see, especially because Steph was coming off the fucking flamethrower of a game.
Yes.
We stopped. We put that fire out a little bit. Didn't get the result we want. I don't know. I don't know where when do we start talking about this, Barry? I don't know.
Well, then the follow-up to that was, of course, the Portland game,
mm-hmm.
where there was an epic collapse and then the missed shot at the end.
Mm-hmm. So the Warriors game, Pascal took the last shot, but it was not drawn up for him to do so. That was a play call for one of the guards that got blown up, and Pascal had to do what Pascal had to do. Okay. And he got a good look. I'm not mad at it.
No.
I really want Pascal to sit down and watch 10,000 hours of Dirk Nowitzki footage.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because if you're doing that, like, your fadeaway with your leg up, watch some Dirk, baby.
Oh yeah, I mean, learn from the master.
That's all you got to do. If this is what we're doing, if we're taking these shots, that's what I'm saying. If this is what we've cemented in, like, Pascal is taking these shots now, well, we gotta get better at the shots then. That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then next night in Portland, epic collapse, which was painful.
Yep, we should not have been in the situation we were at the end of the game to even bring this discussion up. We should not have been there.
But then it happened.
Sometimes it does.
You know, and Siakam, amazing game, triple-double, right? Yep. Like,
point forward Siakam is fucking awesome.
He's great. He's an all-star. He's going to be an all-star for years to come.
Get that kid running downhill, good things will happen.
Yes.
However,
However, he did not.
If he's not going downhill,
he might. He may not be a closer yet.
I mean, he's not.
Let me preface this with two things. One, tweeted this, I think it was during the Sacramento game. I don't know. It was one of these games. But how about Fred is option one, Siakam's option two, Kyle Lowry does whatever he wants, and approach the games like that? How does that sit with you?
It's fine. I think Pascal is option one, but at the end of the game, in like Pascal is not a set D ISO guy. He's not. He never has been. He's just not that guy. He'll get there in years to come. That's not what we're talking about, right? Like, we know he's going to grow and he's going to get better. That's what he's done his entire life. But he's, if you've watched this guy play basketball, that is not his skill set.
Yes.
So if you want, if we're going ISO on the last play of the game, give it to Fred. Fred's an ISO guy.
Absolutely.
In fact, so much that fans yell at him because he dribbles the fucking ball too much.
He's also having a better offensive year than Pascal right now, up to this point. And he can make his own shot. And I will say, I bet if he was not little, I bet if he was 6'6", this would be a no-brainer. Everyone would be on board with this. He'd be like, yeah, make him. But he's short, so it's like, I don't know if I want
him. And to be fair, it is harder for him to get a shot. Of course, that's right. What he's dealt with, being fucking 6'1", his entire life.
But as you say, though, about Siakam, he's not like an ISO guy. And he thrives when he's not the main option, when he's running around and, like, you know, booking up the court, or like he's running around like a freaking deer, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
leaking
let that
out.
Man roam, leak out, catch a rebound, all that stuff. So then that's when he thrives, because Van Vliet's the first option,
right?
And then Kyle Lowry can be Kyle Lowry. And I'm just saying, let's give it a shot. I think it lets people sit in their natural positions.
Do what you're good at.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, so Siakam missed the shot, and I'm not going to lie, I was not in a good mood.
A game, the play was a post-up? We were post-up game winner?
It was nice, though. It was another isolation play for Pascal Siakam.
It was a post-up. What is this, 1998?
It was a lot. There was just so many things. And it was, of course, on top of the collapse. And we talked about this last week. The thing that I was losing my goddamn mind in the bubble, it was like just the relentless hammering of the ball to Siakam, you know, during the game, to be like, no, he's our franchise player. It has to go through him. And I was just like, this is not what the Raptors or the Spurs or any team that finds success does. They don't focus on one guy, because then it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't. Like, especially nowadays.
It doesn't work for guys like that. I mean, like,
yeah,
it would work if Kawhi was on the team, because that's what he does, homie.
Right, like, but it doesn't even work for Harden. Like, how many titles? You know what I mean? Like, they're not winning a lot, and he's scoring 50 points. But it's like, it can't be one guy. Mm-hmm. You know. So he misses the shot, and then I just tweeted, it was me who put out the tweet. I guess we should clarify that, because
It doesn't matter.
But I was like, I love the man. I think he's amazing. But like, let's look at some other options for the last shot, right? Because it's coming back to like the Dwayne Casey out of the timeout. It's going to be an ISO play, and every team knows it. Every team knows now that the ball's going to Siakam, and it's not working. So it's like, why can't there be a two-man game going? Why can't Lowry be a leak-out option? You know, why do they keep relentlessly hammering it through Siakam? And I said, you know, when, like, just let's change it up. Let's try something
different. Try something else, yeah.
And to be honest, most people retweeted or, you know, liked or whatever. It was fine. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of the podcast, Casey Bannerman,
shout out to Casey.
He's a boy. He's a great dude. Everyone loves Casey. And he's like, yo, you can't shit on, or don't blame Siakam. He had a triple-double tonight. And
I think he said your crosshairs are on the wrong person, which is fire, which is great. Just a great line.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was like, it goes back to like further than this, which we talked about last week, where it's like this relentless forcing of Siakam, because And I think it even has to like Kawhi left. So we're like, okay, well, he's our Kawhi. Like, he's our guy now. We'll give him. He's going to be the franchise player. And it's just like, yo, pass the ball, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, which we never ever do on our Twitter account. I replied to the tweet, not thinking, because again, you know, Casey's a buddy. Like, we're shoot the shit with the guy on and then that just opens the floodgates, and then everyone's like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah,
I was like, I should never. Because we never reply to tweets for
no,
this reason. Because
this exact
it just
reason.
Opens
yeah.
the goddamn. It's like bringing out a bag of French fries at a beach, and you see a seagull. You're like, oh, hey, buddy, here's one. And then before you know it, you're surrounded by shithawks.
Yeah, you
right?
fucking vultures.
So he's like, you can't. And I was like, dude, like, show me a clip of him hitting a game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted the game six win, which, I mean, I was, again, if you look, like I was saying a last second.
That's a game clinching shot, not a game winning shot.
Exactly. Like I was saying, end of the game, last shot.
Walk off, baby.
Walk off.
Yeah.
And somebody did post one from like.
The Suns, yeah.
That Suns game. And I'm like, and I said, I was like, you're right. I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. That was one.
Yep.
Okay, but two things. The game six, yes, that was huge. Obviously, they won a
one of the biggest shots in
ever.
Franchise history.
Franchise history. There was like whatever 30 seconds left. It did come out of a timeout, yes, but it was like the ball was chucked back to Lowry, and they set it up like a half court offense, right? And then he, you know, schooled Draymond, which was amazing. It was fucking great. But that's kind of like exactly the point, is what I'm trying to say is like Siakam wasn't the best guy on the court. Kawhi right. Leonard was the best guy on the court. They passed the ball to Siakam.
Attention was on.
You know what I'm saying?
Kawhi, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
everyone assumed the ball is going to Kawhi Leonard's hand, and when you didn't, it didn't go there. A little wrench in the gears of...
100%.
I got you.
And if you look at Game 6, what does every Raptor fan that watched that and preached to this day? Was it four guys had 20 points, and like I think it was Ibaka had 18 or something like that, right? Like, it was spread out. It wasn't like Kawhi had 50, and then, you know... Which is exactly what I'm trying to say. Is like
team ball.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that to post the game six thing is not what I was talking about. First of all, I was saying a clutch walk-off shot.
A walk-off, not a game clincher. Yes, he won the game with that shot. Sure, but there was still time on the clock.
There's still time
when
on the
anything
clock.
Could happen. Yeah.
You only went up by. You were already up. First of all, then he hit that.
Correct.
They went up by three, and then the other team has Steph Curry, so it was not over, right?
No.
Like, and there was 20 whatever 5 seconds left, but it just almost reiterates exactly what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, they didn't pass to Kawhi Leonard. That's exactly the fucking point. And then the Phoenix one, when he did do it, it was amazing, right? But this was January 2019. He was not the most improved player. He was not. The second option even really at that point yet, right? And that game, I remember that game. He didn't have the best game. Like, I think Ibaka had a better game than him. And yeah, Kawhi was load managing, but it's like, again, they went to a different option. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I 100% understand what
you're
saying.
Drive me fucking crazy. So it's like, since the bubble is this relentless pounding it through Pascal Siakam, and it's like, and in his defense, it's bullshit. Because it's like, he's like, yo, everyone knows I'm going to get the ball.
I honestly was fucking heartbroken for that kid, man. To see how upset he was at himself.
Like, but sorry, go ahead.
Just the pressure. Like, the Raptors thrive. The reason we won a fucking title by bringing in Kawhi Leonard, because our team was so strong.
Exactly.
It wasn't one guy came in and he's like, give me the fucking ball.
Exactly.
Hop on my back. We're going to the fucking dance, boys.
Exactly.
It was a full team. It was a culture that was built. To share the ball, everyone fucking come, put on your hard hat, we're going to work.
Game six and that final play of Siakam, or not the final play, but that late play of Siakam scoring is exactly what I'm talking about.
So whatever's happening now, it's we have like superstar withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And because Siakam got paid what he got paid, it's like, no, bro, you're the guy now. Let's go, right?
I hate that.
I know.
I hate it so much.
But it's the reality, right? Like that it is what it is.
But it doesn't have to be, though.
It's the reality. It's the perception, I should say. It's the perception. You got the big money. You're the best guy on the floor. You got to take all the big shots. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Who makes that reality?
But I will say this. You can't have it both ways. right? So he can't, you can't argue for, oh man, he's the best player. He rimmed out, give him time, keep going, and then get mad at people that criticize him.
Right.
Because you're the main guy. You're the highest paid guy. You're the guy. You take good and bad. And right now it's fucking bad because we're 2-8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to go both ways, man.
And I agree with what you were saying earlier, though, is I feel bad for him because it's not, he's like, guys, I became amazing because I wasn't the focus, and now you're making me the focus. And who hit the game-winning shot for Portland? CJ McCollum.
Yeah, he's playing better than Dame, though.
Yeah, guess what? Dame's making, I mean, this year their contracts are kind of similar, but for the next 5 years, Dame's making $13 million more than CJ McCollum.
When you think of the team, you know what I mean? You think it's Dame's team. Yeah.
Who hit the game-winning shit for Golden State? Was it Steph Curry? No, it was the fucking shithead that did the kickout on the three-point. I can't think of his name right now. Either way, though, it's just like...
Damian Lee. That's his brother-in-law, man.
But it's like, what are we doing here? It's like, why... Other teams are beating us using their other players, and we're like, no, it has to be Siakam.
Okay, so in the Warriors game, that for sure, that play was not for Siakam. That was Draymond being a fucking G and knowing, hey, man, he's coming around this back screen. Like, you can literally see Draymond switch here, switch there. Draymond knew exactly what play that we were trying to run, and it just, he busted up, so Pascal had to fucking do what Pascal had to do. And it was good luck, man. That kid can make those shots, good luck. The Portland one... I don't think that was a great look at all, and that was for Siakam to post up, which he can do, but you're not gonna get a foul call. You're not gonna not gonna happen, dude. That shit has got to, and you got to, yeah, man, it in and out for sure. Like, but
right.
But do I think that was the best look? No. We shouldn't have been in that fucking situation in the
exactly.
first place.
That's the main thing.
That's
the
moral of this story is you got to fucking handle your business, man.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that. But just for me, it was just more of, like we talked about before, like this relentless, like hammering it through Pascal Siakam. Because like, they're like, well, he's got the max contract. He's our franchise or whatever. It's like, yeah, but like Tim Duncan's the greatest, like one of the top 10 players of all time, right? Like he didn't take the last shot of every Spurs game.
No.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They dominated for 2 decades. Like there's just... When Jordan and the Bulls beat, I think it was the Phoenix series title, it was John fucking Paxson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Steve Kerr knocked out Utah. Mm-hmm. Right? Like it's like, you got to pass the fucking ball. And like they don't do that anymore. And it's exactly like it was with Dwayne Casey. It just drives me goddamn insane. That's all.
Okay. So, I mean, this is... It's a fucking, we're mad at Nick Nurse, kind of.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is what this is what this is, and it's weird yes. to, it's and easier maybe, to get mad at your fucking players than it is,
your coach, we've right? never, you look at our, check our receipts. We don't shit on Siakam. Like, maybe we've made a couple jokes, like, yeah, trade for Harden or whatever, but it's like, all of our shit's like, buddy, we believe in you, go for it. Because I do, I think he's awesome. Like,
I don't know how many times I gotta fucking say this. I own the guy's jersey.
No, exactly.
I wear his fucking name on my back. I love that man.
Exactly. But to suggest that, it's like, it has to...
Dude, you
drives me goddamn insane.
We're just calling it like we see it. That's all we're doing. And what makes me fucking angry about Twitter is people will shove a box score in your face. I'm like, don't... I watch the fucking games,
I know,
dude.
Exactly, I know.
I don't need to see the box score. I understand the significance of what this guy is doing.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
And also, listen, he got a triple-double. That's fucking great.
He fucking played great, man.
He played great.
But he did miss the last shot, and that's what we're talking about.
And he's been doing it since the bubble. Like, any time. And it's not his fault, again. Like, we're saying necessarily because they're forcing this shit on him, and it's so frustrating. Like, it's like, call a play. Call a goddamn play.
Do something, yeah.
And it's other, again, CJ.
Is this on Chris Finch?
I don't know, man. Someone's got to fucking fix some
something shit weird. Like, I don't know what's going on with Kyle. Like, he when he was out for personal reasons, he came back.
And he was rattled. He wasn't in it, he said.
Fred had to fucking yell at him.
Yeah.
Fred yelled at him before the fourth quarter, told him to wake the fuck up. We got to go, man.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is. It's very weird. And again, it's the same. Fred could be the first option. He's leading the team, and he's
in fucking heart. That's for sure.
Yeah, but he's the leading scorer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like to suggest that they can't develop a play for him at the end of the game. And then, but again, it's like other teams know it's going to, everybody knows, everyone knows. And then he, for the most part, misses. And then, and everyone's like, don't leave him alone, man. He got a triple double. And it's just like, I'm not even mad at the guy. Like I in the tweet that I put out, I was like, I love him. I think, because I do. And I think he'll be an all-star for years to come. Like, for the love of Christ.
You just got to put guys in positions to succeed. And we just don't think that at the end of the games, we're giving Pascal the best chance to succeed. Like, that's all it is. Like,
exactly.
Something weird happened this year where you're not allowed to criticize the team.
It's so true. You're so, that is like, such a thing.
This was never a thing. We've been doing this, by the way, we've been doing this fucking podcast for 8 years. And we're not fucking, I don't know who needs to hear this, but just if you're a new listener, we're not fucking bandwagon fans, dude.
Oh, the guy, yeah, no, go fuck, no, no one.
I was in the goddamn Sky Dome when we beat fucking Jordan, okay? I was there, son, in the Sprite Zone, I was there.
Yeah, I went to a game of the Dome as well.
Yeah, like, it's, this is new thing that's happening on Twitter where you're not allowed, like.
It's insane.
This is the team we love. This is all we, this is what this fucking podcast is about. It's about talking about the team, criticizing the team, giving the team love. No fan should sit back and be like, yeah, it's a sunny day tomorrow. Don't worry. Yeah. It's going to be fine.
We're
no.
2-8. Don't worry, though. We're the best moral team victories. That's 2-8. It's like,
and
no.
We are, yes, we are better than a record, but guess what, man?
We're still 2-8.
The record fucking counts. Like, you gotta win these. Exactly. You gotta win these games, dude.
Yeah.
Your moral, how your heart, your soul feels good. It doesn't matter, dude. You gotta score more points than another fucking team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and who cares? It is Twitter, but like, again, like, oh, look at the game six shot. And it's like, that's not. I mean, that has nothing to do with a closeout shot. Like, and again, it. But it also
And by the way, we were like, you were just commenting on the last.
Yes.
Second walk-off shot. That's all. We know. We watched the games. Pascal was great.
Yeah. He's amazing.
But he should not have taken the last shot is what you're saying.
Exactly. Just for his own sake and for the team's sake, it's just like, I guess what my real frustration is and we talked about it last week, and now it's just being amplified because he missed two game winners in these four games. It's just they just keep ramming the plays through him,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposedly because he's the franchise player now, and he's getting paid the most, which is fucking psychotic to me. That is psychotic. And even you, again, look at game six when they won the goddamn NBA championship. I think, what did Kawhi Leonard have, like 24 points?
Something like that.
He's one of the greatest players of all time. He only had 24 points, but everyone else, like three other guys, had 20 or 22. And we fucking, like, that's what San Antonio did for two goddamn decades. Like, and that's what the Raptors were doing.
San Antonio's still doing it, by the way. Still, they're still playing. They're playing good still.
Bring back DeRozan. That's all.
Dude, what is crazy is before DeMar left, we're using Siakam the exact same way. Good or bad. Like, he's a point forward. I mean, mm-hmm. DeMar's a guard, but he was playing. You know, he was like our secondary fucking point guard a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
We're doing that. Siakam is. He's just taking that DeMar role. It's like, this is what, dude, we're gonna run a lot of the offense, as he should. He should be going basket to basket because that's where he's strongest in transition.
Exactly. 100%.
And with a head of steam running. Like, he's not, 100%. He does not thrive. And I don't know what fucking Rico Hines did to OG and Siakam, or I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if the problem is Nurse. I don't know if it's Chris Finch. I don't know if they're like, because part of me feels this way, Barry, is we're not going to win the championship this year, well, as constructed, right?
Okay.
I think we said that in the beginning. Like, if we don't do anything, we're not going to win. I think that's safe to say. It's a realist view of the team. So maybe that's kind of in everyone's soul, and they're like, fuck it. Give Pascal the fucking ball every single chance you can, and let him figure it out. And hopefully, the defeats don't fucking crumble his brain.
That's like we talked about this last week. I think it has, like, because how could it not shake anyone's confidence if you're constantly being forced to take important shots, mm-hmm. even when you're struggling? And they're like, no, man, we're paying you. Fucking, and it's like, yo, you're also paying Fred VanVleet a ton of money. Like, mm-hmm. you're also playing Kyle Lowry with $30 million. Like, there's just.
But dude, there's a lot of it too, because it might have been Pascal being like, give me the fucking ball.
Could be.
Which is, dude, if you're on that level of belief in yourself and that kind of confidence, all for it, man. And if you can shake the shit off,
Can he, though? Like, this has been going on for six whatever months now.
We'll see how he comes out the next game, right?
And you're right, though. You just said it. It's like not even the frustration's not even with Siakam, because it's not. It's just the fact that it's just like why we may as well have Dwayne Casey again.
I think what collectively we're all feeling is we were not ready to be this fucking bad this soon. Like, that's what it is, dude. Like,
really,
we were good for so fucking long. We've been good for like 8 years.
Yeah.
Our team's been really fucking good for
and kept getting better, progressively better.
Yeah. We're climbing the mountain now.
But they were second in the league last year.
We reached the top of the mountain. And fucking some erosion has happened, and we're like, oh boy, that peak is it's not as wide as we thought it was, and maybe we're not ready to fucking be 2-8, because everyone's losing their fucking minds. Twitter's an insane place.
It's crazy. One of my favorite things was like, oh, I didn't even text you, because I was just like, as soon as I replied to Casey,
you hated yourself immediately.
I was like, because we never do that, just because for this specific reason, like, mm-hmm. not it could be anybody, but it's just like, oh, it just opens the floodgates. And then I remember Isaiah Thomas tweeted, he's like, yo, like, I don't know, like, whatever, it's like, you got to be able to create your shot, basically, is what he was saying, but he said it in a cooler way.
Yeah.
And then
he said it actually more of a dick way. It was actually kind of fucking angry. He's like, oh, that's for a hooper. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, yeah.
Come on, Isaiah.
But it's like, and then everyone's like, you fuck with Siakam, like, hit game six winner, and it's just like, but it's like, yo, he's kind of got a point. Like, maybe he's being a dickhead, and he's not delivering, and again, like, that game six shot is exactly the fucking point. Because the ball didn't go to Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of all of this
mm-hmm.
shit. And
yeah, it's a smokescreen, man. You assume the ball is going to Kawhi Leonard, because why fucking wouldn't? And it did not, so you're...
Exactly.
Boom, shot goes in.
Done.
Free throws the rest of the fucking time.
John Paxson, Steve Kerr, Manu Ginobili, you know?
Shout out to fucking Manu.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't gotta, like...
I think what Isaiah was saying when he said Hooper is guards. That's what he's saying. He's with someone with, like, he's just talking about guards, man. It's because mm-hmm. in your brain, the guy taking that last second shot, watching the clock, dribbling, watching it, okay, 3 seconds, now we're going, boom, 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 pull up. That's your Devin Bookers. That's your Bradley Beals. That's your, you know, even DeMar DeRozan to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So you don't really look at Siakam like that. That kind of, like I said, it's not a fucking Rico Hines goddamn run, man, at a Lifetime Fitness. Like, he's not going to be busting guys down off the dribble.
No.
He's not that kind of player. He's getting there. His handling, everything, he's getting there. But are we force feeding this motherfucker this every single time for good or bad? I don't know. But maybe, I'm also down if that's what we're doing and he's mentally strong enough to deal with the horrible dips. in confidence that must instill, like, I'm all for it. Let's fuck it. Tank without tanking, then.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's like basic. We don't want to, that, like, is his development trying to make him a closer more important than winning? Like, now it might be that we're 2-8. Maybe it is. Yeah, I can be down with that. But it's just like, again, it started in the bubble. It was like so evident in the Boston series, and then obviously to start, and he's an amazing player and he's fucking great, but it's like, look at every time the Raptors won or any team that's ever won, it's never one dude.
Yeah.
And just, it's driving me goddamn insane. That's
It's just the end of, because he's the past stretch of four games, he's looked good, man. Like,
yeah,
like,
he's
Pascal,
fucking great. That Pascal, Phoenix game when they lost, I was like, yo, he's back, man.
This kid is back.
Yeah. Love him. Love him. That's the other thing, is I love the man. Like, yeah. I think he's an extremely good basketball player.
Dude, he's back. And you know what he's not back, like what he was not known for when he was here? Hitting fucking isolation game-winning shots. That's never what he was doing. Like, what are we talking about, guys?
Exactly.
He's not that fucking player.
Oh, this is what I was going to say. So someone else tweeted at the Isaiah Thomas tweets. They're like, Pascal's not clutch, a thread. And then they started, like, putting, like, up, like, whatever GIFs and highlights. But it was like the Raptors playing the Knicks, and there's, like, a minute four left, and the Raptors are up two, and he hit a three. And he's like, clutch. And then, like, the Raptors, there's, like, 30 seconds left, and, like, he drove to the lane and got a bucket to put them up one, and he's like, bingo, or whatever. It's just, like, this is...
Because
what are we talking about
There's
here?
A difference between, like, clutch scoring and walk-off game winners are not the fucking same thing, guys.
Not even close. Anyway.
You got a ball in your hand, win or lose, and you go home. It comes off your fingertips. Win or lose. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about there's still time to go. Now we're in a good position to close this out.
No, no. We're not talking about fourth quarter scoring.
You know, like. No.
So anyway, it just broke me because, you know, it's been building up for a while, and it drives me. It's Dwayne Casey shit again. And Dwayne Casey drives me goddamn insane.
Yeah.
Even though he's apparently one of the nicest people.
Pound
the
rock,
planet.
Man. Pound that fucking rock till your hand bleeds. It's not going to make a difference.
We got two. Thing two.
Fans in Tampa, again, can continue to, suck, for lack of a better term.
They're just not our fans.
No, yeah.
That's all. They're people living in Tampa or born in raised in Tampa, and why the hell would you care about the Raptors?
We were talking about this, and we've noticed on this West Coast trip is there's teams like Golden State, for instance, whatever, that have the video screen fans again. Does this not seem like an ideal situation for a franchise that is away from their home city, and then you could have Raptors fans on the frickin'...
Do more bubble shit.
Yes.
Do more bubble shit.
Like, it just seems
get
like
the screens up, man. That's what we don't. It's so weird to see empty arenas like tarped off, like you know, like the fucking Blue Jays when they don't sell out games, like they tarp off a whole section, right? That's what it looks like.
It really does.
And I mean, that is what it is. Like, you're not selling tickets because you're not allowed to sell tickets, but I assume they have some deal where, like, that's why they got there, and like whatever arena it is, they get that
the revenue
little
yeah for
bump
sure.
in revenue,
lost,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
But now, kick those motherfuckers out. I say bring in the boards, man. Getting Avbacha on the fucking screen.
Yeah, perfect. What better reason?
See what Stripes is doing? I haven't heard from that guy. 905 starting up again.
All of them. Just feels like it is absolutely the perfect scenario where you would want to use digital fans.
Yeah. I mean, like, even Duncan Robinson, right? Like, he was on a podcast, and he was he literally said he feels bad for the Raptors. And when you're in the league, you know when you go to Toronto, that is going to be loud as a bitch. And it's going to be, these guys are crazy, right? The fans are nuts.
Yeah.
There's 20 fucking thousand people outside the goddamn arena. It's crazy. So these guys are going to Tampa Bay and seeing Kyle Lowry get fucking booed at the free throw line. They're like, this, damn, son.
Yeah. Shout out to
what happened to you guys? And yeah. Apparently, this is when Miami was shooting free throws. A fan was just talking shit, I guess. And Fred VanVleet was like, shut the hell up and put your fucking mask on. And they got a big laugh from all the guys on the court. They liked that. And shout out to Fred, man. God.
How can you not want that guy taking the last shot?
Yeah,
man?
He's got balls, man. Bet on yourself.
That's hilarious, though. And shout out to Duncan Robinson for the respect. Thank you for that, Duncan.
Yeah, shout out to Duncan. You know what I noticed is... I don't know why this is on my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But Pascal's been wearing the same shoes for past four games. Black KDs. Normally he switches. He always wears KDs.
Okay.
But I think he found a groove, and he's like, I got the black ones on. Miss one game winner. Put them on the next day. Miss another. So we'll see.
Man, but if you take those two game winners away, he's had a great road trip.
Dude, even with the fucking game winners, it wasn't his fault. It should never have come down to
save us,
fucking Pascal.
I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. Like. All of that should have never happened in the first place, but he's been awesome. Like,
especially Portland, man. That honestly was a fucking super bad loss.
I was in a very dark place after that.
Yeah, and then you fucking anytime you went on Twitter, I was like, oh, this guy's in a rough area here.
Man, I couldn't.
Listen, the pandemic's getting the best of all of us.
It really is.
We got thing three.
As we are recording this, it is Tuesday evening. Kyrie Irving still under investigation. Hasn't been anything confirmed yet or whatever, but Woj is saying basically, you know, we all know he attended a massive party.
He went to his dad and his sister's 30th birthday party. I mean, his dad is not 30, but his sister is.
Maskless, though, right? There's a video of him maskless.
Kyrie thinks the earth is flat. You think he's wearing a mask?
That's fair. So Woj is reporting at the time of this podcast, if Kyrie is found to have violated the league's health and safety protocols, he's facing... a proportional game reduction, 1/81.6th of his salary. So it'd be $410,000 a game.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he would forfeit that money for every game lost because of a mandated isolation League is probing the video now. Son of a bitch.
That's amazing world wide wobe there as a snitch. He put together the full video, found out the venue. Yeah, he was here.
Who did that?
Worldwide Wobe.
Who's Worldwide Wobe?
Twitter.
Rob Perez.
Rob Perez.
Got you. Yeah, I just saw that.
Wobe.
I will say it's great for my fantasy basketball team because I have Caris LeVert.
Well, that's good for you. Imagine all the people that got Kyrie on their fucking fantasy team.
I'm enjoying.
I'll be the first to say I was fucking super wrong about the Nets. That's my bad. I thought, if you say you're going to come play basketball, you're going to come play basketball. And, he's not. So that's my bad.
Same thing. I thought him and next to KD was like, that's just lock it up. It's over.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But here we are.
Like, doesn't need other guys to play a little bit of defense, and they'll fucking win a lot of games. But if Kyrie, I don't know, man. Kyrie's he's a good man. I know that. Like, his heart is in a good place. But I don't know, man. This is a bigger conversation. This is like what James Harden is doing right now. Like, James Harden is not playing hard, or he does not give a fuck. And I'm all like, this is a players' league. Players should make a shit ton of money, but at some point we got to talk about how contracts are contracts. When you sign a fucking contract, you sign a fucking contract, man. That goes for Kyrie. That goes for like, and it's weird when you demand a trade. Like, I get it, Harden. Like, that dude's he's like a fucking Trump backer. Tillman is.
Tillman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the owner. Not James.
It's like, James, fucking where?
But do you remember that James wore that fucking the Blue Lives Matter mask and he didn't know?
But that's the best. He's just like, yeah, I thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
And then when they asked him when the stuff was going on in Capitol Hill, they're like, what did you think about happening in Washington? He goes, I didn't see it.
I love it. But he also, like, this was years ago. When they first asked him, he said, I didn't see it. It was something regarding something else. But Young Thug, of all people... Young Thug's a rapper. He was like, yo, James Harden's my brother, and that dude don't have no internet or no nothing.
Listen, he's living his goddamn life.
Dude, James Harden just plays basketball and fucking goes to strip clubs. That's all he does, man.
He's doing things on his terms.
I don't know, man. I fucking love Kyrie Irving. I really do. I like that guy a fucking shit ton. But at some point, dude, like... Enough is enough, man. Like, you guys have title aspirations. It's not a fucking joke. You got the team. You got the personnel.
Yeah.
You got the coaches. What's going on? Like, what are you doing?
Also, speaking, you mentioned his good stuff. Because he does not get recognized for the good stuff he does. I will say that in his defense.
All you see is Kyrie fucking... You know, talking Slander. About the earth being flat, like him staging the arena and like.
So just like a quick little thing here. He donated $323,000 to combat food insecurity amid the pandemic. He donated $200,000 Beyond Burgers to the NYC Food Bank. He committed $1.5 million to support WNBA players who opted out of the 2020 season. And we've talked about this in the past. He produced that Say Her Name Breonna Taylor special that was calling for action. So. That is the one thing I will say in the man's defense. He never gets, not never, but he rarely gets credit for the good stuff he does. But he also said the world was flat. So, you know, here we are.
Yeah,
that's kind of what happens when you say the earth is flat.
He's like, a complicated dude, man. And like, this is again where Twitter is like very weird, where it's like, it's very polarizing. Like, you know, people are like, he's a fucking weirdo. And other people are like, he's a good man. You don't know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're just talking about, listen. Off-court shit is off-court shit, all right? You get paid to fucking play basketball, and you are missing games because you went to a party for your dad and your sister? What the fuck are we talking about, guys?
And you're getting franchise money, too, so you're like...
You're Kyrie Irving.
You're integral. You're extremely important to that team winning. Like, they've invested more money in you than others because you're more important because you're a better basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little more responsibility. Well, you're getting paid for that responsibility.
Like, you're... What the? You're not allowed to do that. And you, it was agreed to when you came into the season.
But also, just in society in general, none of us are supposed to be doing that shit. You know?
Let alone a man that would be recognized anywhere in the fucking, in North America. Anywhere you go, we know that's Kyrie Irving without a mask, especially if you're not wearing a mask. And now they don't know when he's going to be back. Like, absolutely find this motherfucker. You have to find him. What are we talking about?
It's not good.
You're breaching your contract.
It's not good.
Like you let said, fucking KD off an Achilles fucking tear to hold down the ship by himself?
He left Golden State for this. He left the Warriors.
Spencer Dinwiddie's fucking leg blew up. They need your help, bro. Buddy, Steve Nash is putting a fucking jersey on. Let's go. Let's go, Steve.
Thing four. Four for the thing. Thing four.
So Terrence Davis is still on the team.
Yeah, hitting some shots too, man. I'm not gonna lie. God damn it.
He's playing well, and it's still uncomfortable and awkward.
Yep. As it, I hope you feel uncomfortable.
Like, oh God, yeah, yeah.
He's in trial right now, like for a heinous fucking crime.
Yes. So understandably, it's uncomfortable, but he's still on the team. And last week, Doug Smith actually put out an article with the Toronto Star, an opinion piece talking about Terrence Davis. And he was kind of like, you know, he's on the team, so he's on the team. But he made some really good points that is actually kind of changing my opinion of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the article, he's like, listen, if you seriously think this organization in particular, this organization that showed up to the bubble with Black Lives Matter slapped across the side of their bus, who has Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, and this organization, it's like, if you honestly think they didn't unturn every stone and do thorough background on all of this shit, A, they did or they didn't, and then B, they did, and you think if they found anything, they would let this happen? Like, he's like, if you think that, there's nothing I can tell you. But you got to trust this president that we think is God and has been up to this point. You think he's going to let someone who beats a woman and child? We got to give him, I would say Masai Ujiri, I'm not talking about Terrence Davis, the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. The guy is going to do his due diligence, and he's not going to be like, yeah, no, he's a pretty good undrafted player, guys. We shouldn't let him go, you know? Eh.
Keeps hitting those threes and keep hitting these women. I'm sure they're not thinking that, dude.
Yeah, like, so I kind of, after I read that, I was like, yeah, you know, that he makes a pretty good point.
We're just so fucked. All across the board, we're all mentally and, like, our hearts are all weird because at the same time, yeah, we're criticizing this guy for the roster. But it's like, yes, we trust him, right? We know something's...
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So it's on all... You going to trust the guy on all fronts or not? What are we doing here?
It doesn't make sense that they would be this progressive in terms of, like, you know, policy and everything, but this thing would slide? What?
Yeah, it's not like he's a big and we need him bad. Like, you know? Like a center, like, what we need.
Exactly. He's like he's a bench player.
Yeah.
There was a rookie.
Undrafted, yeah.
So...
Found him in the garbage.
Exactly. So I kind of, after reading that article, I was just like, you know what? You got to give the organization the benefit of the doubt because you can't see them messing this up. Like, it would be so uncharacteristic.
And glaringly fucking a disaster, like an optic and moral disaster.
Yeah, terrible on so many fronts. And it just is not in line with anything that's been the franchise for the past ever. Got to think they did their due diligence and, you know, probably didn't find anything that they thought warranted.
Yeah, or they know shit that we don't know, and they're keeping the kid around and
mm-hmm.
letting him play. So you gotta trust the big guy.
Have to.
You really do talk like Masai Ujiri is. He's a Toronto basketball god for sure.
Yeah, 100% is, like, to the point where their team's what it is right now, and I'm like, yeah, no, he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Mister. Thing five.
All right, this is easily the most important thing we've done, and maybe in all 8 seasons of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking this seriously, so we went down the Mary Brown's route last week.
Fantastic.
And just can't say enough good things about Mary Brown's chicken. She's the queen Mary Brown.
Mary's
by the way, Mary Brown not verified on Twitter. Had a bit of a problem with that.
Last time this happened was N1, and look at them now. Hang in there, Mary.
They are not the N1 of chicken.
No,
all right, they are like the Nike, Adidas.
Yeah, top notch.
Pick a shoe.
Ferrari of chicken.
Exactly. So this week, we went after the legendary Popeye's chicken. And, you know, we go big or go home. If we're saying Mary Brown's the top dog, and we genuinely felt like she was last week, we're like, let's get some big boys in here. And we had Popeye's.
Title fight, man.
Yeah. And just to set the regulations here, we kept it the same. So it was like, couldn't be spicy or anything, had to be the standard chicken sandwich. Mary Brown's combo last week. Popeye's chicken this week. Popeye's is goddamn amazing.
Yeah.
It is extremely good. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Popeye's.
And it's halal.
Hell of a fight. Didn't know it was halal.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing there.
You're going to heaven.
Let's do it. Okay. First of all, how would you rate Popeyes on its own? Not comparing to Mary Brown's. Just Mary, you know?
As a long-standing chicken sandwich eater at Popeyes, before they brought this new one in, I liked the old one. I really did.
Okay.
It's a different bun. You know, it wasn't the brioche bun that this this new bad boy was in.
Yeah.
And it was always good. It was that and Wendy's that I would always go to. Like, those were kind of interchangeable. Like, you know, you get them hot and fresh, equally delicious, both of them. But this new one, this is some next level fucking chicken sandwich. I don't know what they're giving, what steroids they're giving to these chickens, but that's a big breast.
Keep doing it.
That is double D titty chicken. That is a big breast.
Yes.
Succulent, delicious. I fucking love it, man. I do think it's a little bit more greasy than Mary Brown's, so I'm gonna give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Okay.
And I will say, we don't need fucking pickles on chicken sandwiches. We don't need pickles.
Well, let's pump the brakes.
But I'd rather lettuce.
No. I would.
Coleslaw.
Oh yeah, coleslaw. I mean,
when we get to the gourmets, Jesus Barry, Christ. In the coming weeks, you're gonna look back on these days like the dark ages.
Okay, all right.
Before electricity.
I agree with everything you just said. Except the pickles thing. I don't know what your problem is with pickles, but
pickles are disgusting.
It's a problem. It was amazing. The only thing I will say, and I would also go like 9, 9.5, is it? I did have a bit of a grease feeling after. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Very little. Very little. Like, no, we're not talking KFC level.
No. But they
shit your pants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But a hint. Yeah. A hint of it.
You feel your stomach. You're like, oh, you're working a little hard.
Exactly. A hint. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't just eat a salad.
Right. You felt that.
I did not feel any of that after Mary Brown's.
No, I could have eaten 5 of them and
easily.
And gone for a jog.
No problem.
Smoked a half pack of Belmonts, buddy. Go for a run.
We had the Cajun fries that it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Also very good. Again, a little under
the wedges.
The wedges that came with Mary Brown's.
Yeah. And I'm not listen. This is before we consider the fries, what's your top fry? Fast food only.
Whew.
I'm not talking about fucking duck confit fries or nothing crazy.
No, why would you even ask me that? I mean, I hate to say it just because it's so cliche, but McDonald's fries.
By far. No, it's not cliche. It's the right answer, Barry.
Okay, all right.
It's McDonald's. McDonald's is the fry standard. For whatever reason, you know, cooked in fucking crack.
Mm-hmm. That could be it. And I'm not going to tell them to stop.
So comparing Popeye's fries, like the wedges at Mary Brown's, it's a different thing. We're not even talking fries anymore. We're talking wedges.
Yeah.
That shit's quarter of a potato per wedge.
You're right.
Right? So that's not true. Even the same mouthfeel. It's a different experience. But fries, Popeyes takes a hit, man. Like the Cajun fries, not.
No, oh, not in terms of fries. Okay.
I'm not on board with the Cajun fries at Popeyes.
Right. I mean, I would say they're good enough to accompany the chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chicken sandwich is so good that it's like you almost don't need a side. Let's be real here. But it's fine. You're just like, yeah, these are good. These are acceptable. I will enjoy these while I have this amazing chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we're both saying, though, is Mary Brown still has the title.
Still has the crown.
And for sure we're a bit biased. At least I know I am because they are the team sponsor this year. And I believe they're Canadian, right?
Like
they're,
I believe so, yeah.
Only one Toronto location, which is the most Canadian shit ever. We're just like, fuck you, Toronto.
Fuck you, Toronto, yeah.
But it's close. It's very... It's not... I mean...
I know. I honestly... Like you gotta look into like you eat a chicken sandwich. How do you feel after? It should be in more consideration.
Yes,
like the hour following the meal, how you feel, how your body's doing. That's very important. And Mary Brown's, it felt fucking good. I was ready to go.
It felt like we ate a healthy meal.
Yeah,
like we didn't have. There was no food additives. Like we ate natural food.
Yeah.
And Popeyes for me was the first fried chicken I ever had, fast food especially, that I didn't feel like shit after.
Mm-hmm.
It blew my fucking mind. I was like, this is the greatest.
The original sandwich.
Or just the chicken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there was a time when you and I and a friend of the show, Arthur Simeon, every time we did a show, we'd get Popeyes after.
Yeah.
Like that was
that
was more important than the show, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But it blew my fucking mind. I was like, you can have fried chicken from a fast food place and not want to kill yourself?
Halal, baby.
It's got to be. Here's the other thing, though, and it's almost like I'm like, oh, we kind of went backwards because I don't even know what we can get next week that can compare to Popeyes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like for me, I'm like, oh, well, that was the we just took the number one contender, Adder.
Hey, man.
But I mean,
the Colonel's still the Colonel's in a gym right now training. He's ready. He wants his title shot.
Colonel is not going to come fucking close to Mary Brown.
Well, I guess we're going to have to go up a weight class then, Barry. I think it's going to be Mary Brown's against PG Clocks next week.
Okay, we still got the spicy chicken too from Wendy's.
I mean, but that's like the GOAT. Like that's that one's got to come out of retirement to fight Mary Brown's.
I mean, let's
that's a fucking 50-year-old Mike Tyson coming out of retirement. Oh, wait. We gotta set this straight here, right?
Okay.
Wendy's is in the Hall of Fame already. This is what we're saying.
The spicy chicken
yes. Sandwich from Wendy's. Number six combo, I believe, is what I always would get. And then you get a JBC on the side, you know? Wash it down with it.
This is good that you're bringing this up. Because to me, we should almost, like, what is our, what are we looking for here? Do you know what I mean? Like, are we just looking for a good chicken sandwich? Like, what's our criteria, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know? So I would say right now, obviously, it's how you feel after, I think, is probably our number one.
Huge, yeah.
Because you can make a delicious chicken sandwich that...
Shit right after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's priority number one. Should we eat... And maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe we shouldn't be bringing in the fries.
The sides?
Like, I don't know. Because Wendy's fries is not going to compare to either Popeyes or... we got to eliminate that shit, I think.
Just a sandwich.
I think it's just got to be the sandwich. What are we doing? Let's, you know, focus. Let's, what are we doing here?
And so, yeah. Yeah, okay. And well, I guess it should be, there should be a price thing.
Price, yes. That's very fuck around. Good, too.
Because PG Clucks, we're over 10 bucks here. We're getting 12 bucks. Okay, that's 12 bucks a sandwich. But we're getting it.
Okay.
That's I'm telling you, that's up a weight class. That's some, that's some next shit.
Okay. So, price, how you feel after. I mean, like, of course, taste is going to be number one.
Taste is always number one.
Always number one. But so many chicken sandwiches taste delicious. I think we all know that as human beings. So price, how you feel after, and what was the third thing?
Taste.
That's it? Three?
Price, taste, and how you feel after.
Okay.
I think that those three we can...
The sides get thrown out. We should not be talking about
the
sides.
We're not talking... No more sides.
But by the way, Mary Brown does have the best sides. Because, this is why I brought it up. Wendy's fries are kind of... They're shit, right?
They redid them, but they're still not great. They're still... You're not going to touch McDonald's. It's just not going
to
happen.
Oh, God, no. Not McDonald's. But you're not even going to... I don't even think they would touch Popeyes.
Do you remember when Wendy's used to give you the fries and your own salt? Like, you're like, you fucking salt it yourselves, you idiots. You dummies.
Yeah.
You think we're salting in here?
I didn't give a fuck.
You're listening to Talking Raptors on Raptors Republic. Talking Raptors on Raptors Republic. Thing seven? Not yet. No. Only six.
Twitter questions. Thank you to everybody who hit us up. We got some good questions. Let's go to the big board here. The first response we got, and it was almost immediate, came from Steven. Shout out to Steven. Because he posted that we're going to review the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And he immediately replied on Toonie Tuesday, that's not allowed.
That's hilarious.
KFC Toonie Tuesday.
Respect the Colonel.
What a
great absolutely right.
Respect to Steven for showing the respect to Toonie
Respectfully.
Tuesday. Yeah. Respectfully. God. Nick Davis.
Shout out to the main event. Hey, bro, I swear to God, I will play you in 2K one day.
Oh, is this? I wasn't even going to read this because he's giving us praise, but now you've said your show now.
Oh, don't read it then. He knows what's up.
No.
That's my bad, dude. I'm not ignoring you. I didn't realize the main event was you, someone that has commented on our shit, like, for years. I just thought you're some fucking random dude, like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm not playing.
Play the man in 2K.
I will.
Jesus Christ.
My bad, main event.
I mean, especially after you hear what he says here, he goes, obviously there's a bit of tongue-in-cheek here, but he's like, how... Are we Raptor fans so lucky to have the best comedian sports podcast around? No, really. How did all this start? Stop it, Nick.
You're too kind.
You're too kind. By the way, play them in a fucking 2K.
I will.
Listen to what you just said.
Is that what you're doing? You're trying to butter me up here, Nick? Nicky?
Yeah. By the way, Nick, I could have used you last night when I was getting lit up for saying that.
Yeah, you know what? Our fans are real quiet, eh? When shit goes sideways for us? Real quiet when we need help.
Josh, what are the top five things to do in Tampa? If you're having a hard time thinking of five, then what is the top one least depressing thing to do in Tampa? Pretty sure I mentioned this when I was in Tampa, that it was all... I've never seen so many I don't even know how to describe it. Like, kind of like warehouses, but like those shitty strip malls, I guess they were kind of, but it would be like
Orifice Road. Everything looks like Orifice Road.
Yeah, exactly. And it was all trees. Like sex shit that's and what they fireworks.
Do. That's what they're doing out in Tampa?
Like dildo warehouses.
Dildos and fireworks?
Fireworks and strip clubs.
Oh,
so if
I
you
love
like
it.
Any of those, if you like fireworks, sex toys.
Get yourself a fucking strap on and a Roman candle. Have a good fucking time in Tampa Bay.
Get the fuck down to Tampa because they're waiting
for
you.
Let's go Rays.
Get yourself a burning schoolhouse. Check out Vinny LeCavalier and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
A burning schoolhouse, buddy. One of the worst fireworks ever.
Yo, that was easily the worst. Buddy. You never see it. You're just like,
well, that's just, you're just burning a box, like a cardboard box, right?
You're like, oh, that's my school.
I don't even think there's gunpowder in this. You just set a box. They just sold you a box.
This guy's, I don't know what his